Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. We invite you to stay tuned for our message.
Welcome, my listening friends in North Mississippi and West Alabama, to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, and I also welcome you on behalf of my partner in this ministerial effort, Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We would love to have you. Sulphur Springs is located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, and Clear Springs is located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin. We also have a joint meeting every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. on the grounds of New Covenant Church, 200 West Garrod Road in Starkville. We usually meet from worship from 6 to 7, and then we have a meal afterwards. We would love for you to come and to join us. Go to gospel-of-grace.com and check out our website and the many benefits of it, and also their archived messages. If you've missed a message in the past and would like to catch up on it, you'll be able to at that spot. So stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with today's message.
Thank you.
thank you so much, listening friend, for staying tuned with us here at the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm turned to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3 of Jeremiah 33 today. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, the context of this, Jeremiah's in prison. Isn't that a terrible thing? He wasn't carjacking. He wasn't not paying child support. None of that. Jeremiah was in prison because he was preaching the gospel of the Lord. He was exhorting, commanding the righteous statutes of God as a prophet unto a rebellious people in Israel. And I'm here to tell you, he paid a dear price for it. He was cast into prison. But here the Lord said to him, okay, the Lord, he said, I am the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. So right there in the prison, God delivered unto this prophet Jeremiah an encouraging statement. He said, Jeremiah, look around you. I'm the one who made this prison. I'm the one who made the stones that comprise it. I'm the one who made the metals for the shackles. I'm the one who made the men who are guarding you. I'm the one who made the mud that's making you miserable. I'm the one who made the hot and the cold. I'm the one who made the prison. I'm the Lord that formed it to establish it. Now, somebody may say, well, that doesn't sound very encouraging at all, that a God of love, a God who had called Jeremiah to this prophetic office and sent him forward, knowing that he was going to wind up in a prison just for doing what is right, that doesn't sound very encouraging. Well, friends, when your perspective is right, it's very encouraging, because God didn't stop there. God didn't just, this is not a statement of the Lord laughing at Jeremiah. Look around, Jeremiah, who made all this? Ha ha, you see how much power I have? No, that was not the attitude of the Lord toward his beloved servant at all. After saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Then in verse 3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and shew thee, that means show thee, reveal to thee, great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Mighty things there in the Hebrew is from the Hebrew batzar, which means to gather, restrain, fence, fortify, make inaccessible, or to enclose. It sounds to me like mighty things there is talking about a prison, something that contains, something that holds, to make inaccessible. It's a keep. Here, God is saying, look, you call unto me and I'll show you something far stronger and better than this prison that you have allowed yourself to look at and get discouraged by. You see the filthiness of the walls. You look at it strong. You look at the power and the might of the prisoners, the guards that are keeping you prisoner, and you'll get discouraged. But God says, let me tell you something. I operate above and beyond that which is material. Okay? God is supernatural. God is spirit. God is a spirit. All right. And he says, you call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee something far greater that I'll give you, that's even way more powerful than this prison. Mighty things. I want to look at some prisons today with the thought that God made the prison. And so we find ourselves in prisons from time to time. Maybe they're prisons of stone and you know, bars. Maybe they're prisons of poverty. Maybe they're in prisons of illness. Maybe they're in prisons of ill repute. Maybe our prison are foolish choices that we've made and we've found ourselves in a situation that we feel like we can't get out of. There are multiple prisons, types of prisons, both literal and figurative. So as we read this, I want you to think about it, listening friend. What is your prison today? Maybe you're in multiple prisons. What are your prisons that are holding you back? And I want you to remember, beloved believer in Jesus Christ, that God says, I've made the prison. You call upon me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is able to overcome these things. I want you to look at Noah. Noah served prison time. Somebody may say, well, I don't, He was in the ark. That wasn't a prison. That's not what I'm talking about. No, the ark was not a prison. The ark was a deliverance. But Noah served prison time according to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, we're going to read, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient." Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to address a very common misconception about what this actually means. When he says he was quickened by the Spirit, by the Spirit, also he went and preached unto the spirits, small s, spirits, in prison. Now, a very common misconception is that Jesus, when he rose again, that he went to Hades, or went to hell, and he gave another chance of salvation to those who were cast there in soul and spirit after they died. And I'm here to tell you that could not be further from the truth. For one thing, salvation, my friends, is not according to our choice. It's according to God's choice. And if you choose to serve and love the Lord, if you choose to want to be saved today, it shows that you were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, and he's worked that in you. So there's that. Plus, my friends, if you're saved by chance or something you can say or do, salvation is by works, and it's not by grace. And we know, according to the Scripture, that can't be so. So what does it mean that the Spirit filled one and that went into the spirits in prison and preached? Well, it's talking about Noah. That same Spirit that quickened Jesus Christ from death to life, all right? "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." I don't see why people misunderstand that so badly. He sets you the time frame and the context. He's talking about in the days of Noah, before the flood, when every thought of the imaginations of every man's heart was only evil continually. It was a time of great darkness, ignorance, lawlessness, anarchy, hatred, malice. Men had been left unto their own devices. It was a time of great darkness. If you look in the Hebrew, that prison basically carries with it the idea of the darkest watch of the night, like a prison guard during the darkest time where they're watching over their charges. Well, Noah was in the darkest of times. They didn't even have the Mosaic Law at this time. I'll tell you, it was darker in the days of Noah, I believe, than it ever was in the book of Judges. And we see that it was very bad, okay? That Spirit worked in Noah, and Noah preached to these people. He was preaching to them repentance. Now, was he trying to urge them to get on the ark? Nowhere in any context is that ever said. But he preached repentance unto them, and those people did not repent. So it's manifest the wickedness that was in that day. But thanks be unto God, he placed grace in Noah and his family and saved them through the ark. You see, that is the prison that Noah was in. Oh, but he was about to experience a great deliverance. And then on the other side of that flood, he, his wife, his sons and daughters, from those eight people, came all of humanity that are alive today. I'll tell you, that was a terrible prison, but God delivered him. He said, "You call on me, and I'll show you great and mighty things." All right? Job saw himself as a prisoner. All right? Job, in Job chapter 3, verse 20, is lamenting. He's in a miserable situation. He says, "Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures?" Here's a child of God who, I would tell you, if you had to look and see the symptoms of being suicidal in anybody, you would have seen it in Job. But yet he was very much a child of God, very much secure for heaven, very much quickened by the Spirit, that Spirit which was prophesying through him at this time. All right. So don't let anyone ever convince you to say that somebody who commits suicide, there's no way they could be in heaven. There's no way they could be a child of God. That is a whole series of sermons that would disprove that. Okay. Don't believe that. All right. Which long for death, but that cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? You see, here Job is seeing all the malady that has befallen him, all the agony, all the heartache from losing family, losing his health, losing his esteem. And here he thinks God is the one who's holding me back. I'll tell you, if God would have just left me be, I could have really gotten somewhere if God would have let me be. But here God has closed me up in this prison. That's what he thought. God has hedged me in. Hedge is from the Hebrew sakok, which means to hedge, fence about, shut in, to block, overshadow, screen, stop the approach, shut off, cover. Sounds like a prison, right? Job saw himself in a prison of God's making, but what he didn't realize was he was, my friends, in a prison. The prison that the misery that he found himself in was when God had removed the hedge that God had about him before. In Job 1:9, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house?" You see, all of the good and the blessedness that Job had enjoyed had been because God had hedged him in. It was a happy imprisonment. Oh, but now, my friends, he was feeling what it's like for someone to be harassed and to be touched by the evil of Satan. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, somebody may think, well, I'm the captain of my own destiny. I'm the captain of my own ship. I sail my own ship. I go my own way. You better be careful. You better be careful, my friends, because you'll find yourself in a dreadful, dreadful prison of your own making. And I'll tell you, the only way out of that is submit yourself unto God. Give him the honor. Give him the glory. Thank him for all the good that has touched your days. Because I guarantee you, if you'll count your many blessings, they will far, far outweigh the maladies and the sadnesses and the hard times and tribulations in your life. I'll tell you, friends, you look to God and you beg for the prison, the deliverance, the mighty things that he is able to give you and work in you. John the Baptist was imprisoned. John the Baptist, my friends, Matthew chapter 11, John verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, now these are the words of John the Baptist, mind you, a man who is the first cousin of Jesus Christ, a man who had grown up knowing that he was the friend of the bridegroom, that he was the voice crying in the wilderness, that he was going to be the one to prophesy and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He knew these things. He recognized Jesus when he came to the waters. He said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you. I have need to be baptized of thee." But then the Lord urged him, and he baptized him. He heard the voice of God the Father speaking about this Jesus from heaven. He saw the Holy Ghost descend in a supernatural way as a dove from heaven and light upon Jesus Christ. He had witnessed these things. Friends, this man had been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God in Elizabeth's womb. This man, my friends, is a heaven-bound, blood-bought child of the King, and heaven was going to be his home when he died, and nothing could ever undo that. But here he is in just utter abject unbelief, doubts, fears. See, it can happen. It can happen to even one as devoted and as special as John the Baptist. Even Jesus said, among men born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But here he is. He slid into unbelief. He's allowed himself to look at the prison around him as not looking at the one who's made the prison. He said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up." Here he's pointing to all these fleshly maladies, these worldly tribulations that can befall sinners in this life. Blind, lame, leprosy, being deaf, being dead. And then he ends it with,
and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, somebody may say, well, why is that significant? I want you to stop and think that John the Baptist, when he received those words of his disciples, and he heard about the blind, and he heard about the lame, and he heard about the deaf, and he heard about the lepers, and the handicapped, and then the very end, he said, I can imagine them coming back to John and saying, and he said something really strange in comparison to all these other statements of glory. He said, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Can you believe he said that, John? I believe when John the Baptist heard that, that really struck a bell, a chord with John the Baptist, because John the Baptist would have known well Isaiah chapter 61. Now, let's look at this prophecy regarding the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, or our Savior, Jesus Christ, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. I believe this would have led John the Baptist to look directly back to this prophecy when he heard the statement, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And there he is in that prison. He thinks back to Isaiah 61. He says, oh, how does it go? Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. What are good tidings? The gospel. Who are the meek? They're the poor. This would have brought him directly back to this passage in Isaiah chapter 61. Now let's read it full thing for context's sake. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. In other words, have the gospel preached to them. Hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Friends, I believe this conspicuous statement in both passages regarding the poor, the meek, receiving the gospel, would have struck that chord with John. It would have reminded him of this messianic prophecy. He doubted due to a literal prison, when he should have realized that even though God can release from literal prisons, Jesus came even more so to overcome imprisonment that we suffer due to our sinful flesh. Hence that reference to the blind, the lame, lepers, deaf, and dead. What has Jesus come to do? Friends, Jesus reminded his disciples earlier. He said, oh, what is greater? For me to say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? In other words, to heal you from your malady, from your sickness? Or to say thy sins be forgiven thee? Jesus said the same one who had the power to heal the physical illnesses of necessity must be the same one who has the power to say thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, John, my cousin John the Baptist, great prophet, stop looking at the material prison around you and think about the one who has delivered you from the greatest and most grievous prison of all, our condemnation of sin that brought death and sickness and illness and confusion and anarchy and evil and wickedness in this world. I've come to overcome all of that. And Jesus Christ did overcome. He overcame our condemnation and saved us through his representative atonement. He's overcome Satan. And my friends, he is bound to an extent even to this day, waiting that time when he'll be cast into the eternal lake of fire. He has overcome hell, that which his children will never experience. He's overcome the grave because he was resurrected from it. See, my friends, we need to have the right perspective on imprisonment. And we can only do that by realizing that there's one in whom we trust, and we can call on him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. That Botsar, that true stronghold, which thou knowest not. I'll tell you, my friends, you call upon the mighty name of Jesus Christ today, and he will deliver you. Now, if you hate him and you despise him, this is no magic trick. If you hate him and you despise him, you can have absolutely no confidence in saying his name. You're not conjuring anything. But if you today feel that you are a sinner and that you strongly desire a savior from yourself and from the condemnation that you're carrying around, I'm here to tell you, my friends, you've got a reason to rejoice, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you call on him, and he'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, humble believer, you who are burdened with sin, call upon his name. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him. He's loved you from the foundation of the world, and now you show your love toward him and enjoy the great and mighty things that he has in store for you. Thank you for staying tuned with us today, and I hope and pray this message has been a benefit to you. If you have opportunity, contact us. Let us know that you're listening, gospel-of-grace.com. Drop us an email. We sure would love to hear from you. Until we're able to speak with you again, may the grace of the Lord bless you all in a special way.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Gospel of Grace, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. For contact information and to listen to messages online, you can visit our website at clearspringspbc.com. Our program is also available as iTunes podcasts under the title The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Tune in next week for another Gospel of Grace message. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Wonderful the man.